Penny's worth. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last. Some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at jcp.com for details.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the gym class as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Wednesday. Coming up, Chris Liss of rotowire.com. He will answer your fantasy football questions. That brought to you by Imon Communications. We'll do that coming up in about a half hour or so. Brian Barnhart, fine play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini of Illinois, will be joining us. We'll talk Iowa and Illinois. Homecoming in Iowa City on Saturday. That will be an 11 o'clock kickoff, and we'll talk with Brian coming up. Boeing Night in America preview. We'll look back at last night's Twin-Yankee game. All that coming up here in the gym class on KGYM. And welcome to the midweek edition. Gym class on this Wednesday, October the 4th. Scott Unaj, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. As we take it through the 3 o'clock hour, kicking off the local programming block here at KGYM. We'll be followed by the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and then more postseason baseball. Tonight, National League will take center stage. It'll be the NLWC G. It'll be the Colorado Rockies taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it'll get underway about 7:10 coming up tonight right here on KGYM. Mark, the sun is out, and happy National Golf Lovers Day to you, my friend.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
I'll be darned.
It is National Golf Lovers Day today.
Same to you.
And that's us. That's us. That's Swan and others. So, you know, we should have had a caddy smack today.
I thought it was National Taco Day.
Well, it's National Taco Day, too.
Okay.
There's so many of these things now that they just stack upon one another. And so you've got... That's a twofer that we can appreciate.
We could have a taco at the turn.
Absolutely. National Taco Day and National Golf Lovers Day going on today. So it's a twofer for us out there and for all of you. So if you're out golfing, listening to us, get yourself a taco at the turn and enjoy it. A walking taco, regular taco, doesn't matter, whatever the case may be. And we hope you have a good day and be a good day to play out on the links today. Get in 18. Big show coming up. Iowa, Illinois, we'll talk about that. We'll talk NFL fantasy football with you. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview as well. But we look back, Mark, last night. It looked good for about a half hour. I'm going to say that. Looked good from the Minnesota Twins, but then the Yankees got three right back, and they were never really headed after that.
Yeah, it was the start that the Twins really wanted to see, knocking Severino out after one out. And Twins take a 3-0 lead, and then Irvin Santana just did not have it, or the Yankees solved him pretty quickly because the game was tied up before you knew it. And then a combination of the Yankees bullpen, in particular David Robertson, really effective. You hardly ever see him on the field in the third inning, but that's the way it worked out. And it was a good move by Joe Girardi, and Robertson did his job, and the rest of the bullpen did its job. So, you know, I went into it. It was a long shot, but there was a shot. And 8-4 Twins loss, Yankees victory. Yankees move on to face Cleveland. I think that'd be a really good series. But as a Twins fan, it was just fun to watch this year after losing 103 last year. That last year was miserable to go through, but it was really fun this year.
And I think that's kind of the thinking of all Twins fans out there today. And love to hear from you out there, Twins fans, 319-366-1600, the Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers text line, or you can reach us via the phone line, same number, 319-366-1600. Little bit ahead of schedule, Yankees may be a little bit ahead of schedule as well. We said yesterday the Twins, if they wanted a shot, probably needed Irvin Santana to get to the 6th, 7th inning right in there, and he didn't come close because the bullpen was going to be a big advantage for the Yankees, and it was, even though Severino was really bad early on. Santana just could not get that slider to do anything, whether it just be nerves or just one of those unfortunate nights, whatever the case may be. Nerves, Johnny. But At any rate, a good year for the Minnesota Twins, and good to see. Boy, Byron Buxton made a heck of a catch out in center field.
He made a lot of them.
And I was glad for Byron that a national stage got to see him play center field before he got hurt on that particular play. Had some rib injuries, got worse, and finally had to take himself out of the game. And then Zach Granite got in, and he got a hit last night. Mm-hmm. So good to see some of the former Colonels out there getting some prime time love out there.
Yeah, I think the future is bright for the Twins. Whether it can advance to the level of Cleveland, that remains to be seen. That's a whole different level in my mind. Last night underscored once again how important pitching is. The Twins just don't have the pitching.
Not yet.
I mean, the spotty this year, they were good. I mean, Santana won, 16 ball games. Barrios won 13 or 14. But the depth isn't there. I mean, you need number one, a good rotation, and number two, maybe more importantly, those guys can take you through the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth innings. And Twins used 36 pitchers this year, I think, 16 or 17 different starters. And it's actually in that vein, it's quite amazing they did what they did.
Very much so. And the Twin season comes to an end. Now the Yankees go to Cleveland, and they got some pitching issues now. The good news is, yeah, the Yankees won last night for them. The bad news is you got 2 days to kind of get everything back in order to try to beat the best team in the American League right now in the Cleveland Indians. And you just used your bullpen for 8 2/3 innings to try to get there. So it's a good problem to have, obviously. You would rather have that problem than not having that problem.
Yeah, you got to advance, and the Yankees did what they needed to do in that regard. And Corey Kluber not starting game one. It's going to be Trevor Bauer for the Cleveland Indians.
That's interesting, isn't it? Very interesting out there. And yeah, I think we're going to see a little bit more of that, moving things around. It sounds like Strasburg's going to start game one for the Nationals, and then Scherzer either two or three, whatever the case may be. So
Cubs going with Kyle Hendricks.
Hendricks, yeah. I believe, will be the opening day starter or opening game starter for the Chicago Cubs. I think it's a good move by the Cubs. I think that'd be the guy I would throw out there right now. Lester's been kind of up and down. Looks like Lackey's out of the picture right now. And probably the most consistent guy has been Kyle Hendricks. And we will see. And if he can do his off-speed pitching prowess and make a very, very rugged Nationals lineup, not quite as formidable out there. That one will get underway coming up on Friday. The American League gets underway on Thursday with the divisional playoffs. Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, they will go. National League will go on Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday if necessary.
Tonight, the National League wildcard game, that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which team will advance to face the Dodgers in the NLDS? Is it going to be Arizona or is it going to be Colorado? Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. And thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. They'll have the game on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll have the game on at Bowling Night in America as well.
Yes, yes, they will. We'll have more on that coming up in just a little bit. Rockies or Diamondbacks, and we talked about this yesterday. I like the Diamondbacks in this one. I like Zach Greinke, but he's going to have to show me something in a big game, and he's had big game situations before. So that's one thing I'm going to be watching in that one tonight. If the Rockies can get to him early, I think they got a shot at this thing. But Arizona's been playing good baseball. JT Martinez, woof, what a pickup.
I like the D-backs to go to the National League Championship Series. Of course, so I have to get by Colorado tonight to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then face the Dodgers. So we'll see. We'll have it here on KGYMradio.com.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there on the Hertina Stocker text line. We kind of sent the bat signal out to the Twins fans on exactly what you thought about your season this year. Got to be happy. 100 wins or 100 losses in 2016 and going to what they did this year.
Ryan from Walford, regular check-in here on the text line, Hertine and Stockard text line. Despite the fact the game took longer than a cross-country flight, hey, it was in New York, Ryan. Is there any better type of playoffs than MLB playoffs? You can literally feel the energy of the players and the crowd, and I'm a Cubs fan. The guys look like little leaguers out there as far as the emotion goes. I love it. Sorry about your Twins, Mark. Well, thank you, Ryan.
It's okay.
I'm okay.
It's all right. Yeah, and I tweeted that out last night because I'm sick and tired of all the people around Twitterdom getting on baseball. And I don't understand this. The game did take a long time last night. But the first inning, you had all those runs put up, and you had pitching changes and things going on, and it took about 50 minutes. Yes, that's going to happen every once in a while. Got everything behind. And then the world immediately, it's like a light went off above the universe. Everyone start tweeting how bad baseball is. No one tweets about a football game that's 52 to 51 that takes 4.5 hours. Why do people tweet about a baseball game that's a high-scoring game that takes a long time?
Mm-hmm.
Too much downtime? I mean, you can come up with so many reasons why baseball is quote-unquote a regional game now. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you've got so many of the talking heads out there nationally telling us baseball is now a regional game because they are carrying the NBA and NFL action, which, by the way, they're told to go out and give a plug to at all times.
Yeah, in a lot of respects, baseball is better watched on site. You know, it's often difficult to watch a whole game on television and dedicate 3 or 4 hours. I say that, and I'll sit in front of the TV and watch golf for 3 or 4 hours. So that may not make a whole lot of sense to everybody, but
happy National Golf Lovers Day out there again to everybody.
I don't really want to go down this road, but because I know other folks on talk shows don't want to address the issue, but the thing I was struck with was the national anthem and how every single player had his cap off and over his heart.
Yeah.
And then you look at the NFL. I mean, what's the big difference here?
Baseball's a regional game. Can I use that?
Didn't help but be struck by it. I'm sorry.
No, I was too. I thought it was very interesting, and I think that's part of the reason why they show the national anthem, although they do usually in postseason baseball games. They will show it, or big games, Super Bowl, obviously, championship games in football, NBA finals, whatever the case may be. 319-366-1600. Now that we have two guests lined up and Mark's opened that can of worms.
12:49 on the Hertine and Stockard.
Are they a Twins fan?
Text line. I agree with Mark. I like the Diamondbacks to go to the NLCS. Kershaw and the Dodgers pitching does not look that great, just so-so. Plus, the offense may have to carry the load for the Dodgers, and they typically choke in the playoffs. Have not been in the World Series since 1988. Go Cubs, and love watching the Twins this year as well. Molitor, AL Manager of the Year.
I think he will be. I think he will be. Those awards aren't going to be given out for a while yet, though. So hunker down for a while.
Yeah.
Until you got a month yet to try to figure out if those awards are going to go to certain people.
71-91. Hey, just a quick Stanley Cup prediction. Penguins go back-to-back this year. It'll be a happy start to the NHL season.
Happy NHL, everybody. Blues at the Penguins coming up tonight. As Alex and I
keep
one eye on that.
Who knew?
Who knew? Mm-hmm. Happy National Golf Lovers Day out there to everybody. We got everything today here in the program. All right. We will take a break. 3:17 here on the Jim Class Show. And when we come back, we are going to talk with Brian Barnhart. He is play-by-play voice of Illinois football, and the Illini will be here in Iowa City on Saturday to take on the Hawkeyes for homecoming. We'll talk about Illinois football and Jeff George Jr. when we come back here on the Jim Class on KGYM.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club.
Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5. Ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you at 319, it is Gym Class in KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. He's on the phone right now with Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini of Illinois. We'll talk with him coming up here in just a mere matter of moments. One little piece of news to get to as far as the University of Iowa. Women's basketball announcing today the Puerto Rico Classic, as you might well imagine, has been moved from Puerto Rico. It's now going to be played in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's going to be played at a local high school there, Dillard High School, I do believe, not named after Sherman Dillard, the Natalie Clad, Iowa men's basketball assistant coach. But, they can't play basketball classics in Puerto Rico right now, so... As anticipated, the men's classic was also moved, that I believe Iowa State is in, and that will also be played in the state of Florida. So they're also going to move a couple of the game dates just slightly as well. So mark that down if you're a fan of Iowa women's basketball. So there you go. That and National Golf Lovers Day today, Mark. Iowa, Illinois coming up on the gridiron on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. It'll be homecoming for the Hawkeyes just past 11 o'clock with the kickoff on BTN. Brian Barnhart does a great job, play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini. He's set to join us right now. And Brian, good afternoon, and thanks for taking time to join us today. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Good to be on with you guys.
You bet. And boy, it sounds like it's going to be great weather. It's going to be football weather coming in for the weekend. And everybody likes to see that as we get into Big Ten play now.
Yeah. Well, it's only going to go downhill, right, as far as the temperature from here on out. I know at one point they said rain. I don't know if it's still true or not, but we'll see by Saturday, I guess.
Brian, what was playing on Friday like in terms of not only for Illinois – football, the high school ranks and whatnot. Nebraska played at Illinois last Friday.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the atmosphere was good, but of course there was, and we have, like Iowa does, we have some small towns around us too, that, you know, high school football is a big deal. It's a community-wide event. It goes on every Friday night, so you know, I think people understood, I think the coaching staff and the university all understood how important Friday night is, but you know, I guess it's the kind of world we live in right now, as far as you know, who's dictating, you know, when you're on TV and when you play. And I think their view was, hey, it's a chance to be on national TV, and the Big Ten is wanting to do this, and so you know, we're a team player like everybody else, and it was our turn, and so that's what they did.
The Illini falling to Nebraska, 2-2 coming in to the game in Iowa City. The two non-conference wins and then losses back-to-back to two really good teams. Two teams I think are going to make noise, going to be bowl teams by the time it's all said and done. How's this year been for Illinois so far, in your estimation?
Well, you know, it started with a close game over Ball State, a game that we started a lot of freshmen. And that has continued to be the case through these early games this year. And then they played really well. The best game, start to finish, has been the game against Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky came in with a new coach, obviously. Jeff Brohm left to go to Purdue and still had a lot of potential with their quarterback, who was you know, a guy that threw for a lot of yards last year. But Illinois did a really good job both sides of the ball, shut down Western Kentucky, pretty much dominated from start to finish. Then they ran into a really good South Florida team down in Tampa. It was right after the hurricane had been through. There was some question as to whether the game would be played or when it would. And as it turned out, South Florida has a guy who may not win the Heisman, but I think he's going to be on the Heisman list, in Quentin Flowers. And he was a big-time problem for Illinois defensively. And then Nebraska, Illinois just didn't play real well. I don't know if Nebraska is a great team. They've been going through a lot of stuff early this year with their quarterback throwing a lot of interceptions. But Illinois never got any pressure on Tanner Lee. And no matter how many interceptions he's thrown, if you don't get any pressure on a quarterback with a good arm that can move it around the field, you're going to give yourself a problem. And Illinois gave up, I think, drives of 87, 89, and 92 yards during the course of that game and just never got going offensively, which is why they're making a change at quarterback this week.
Yeah, talk about Jeff George Jr., because those of us long of tooth certainly remember his dad coming into Kinnick and various other places and causing havoc. So talk about the change and talk about George in particular.
Yeah, well, he's like his dad. He's got a very good arm. I don't know if he's got his dad's arm particularly, because his dad had a pretty special ability to throw the football, and you know that was proven not only at Illinois but in the NFL for a long time. But you know, he's got a very good arm. He showed that off quite a bit in the second half of the ball game against South Florida when he came in after the game had, I think in the third quarter, but South Florida had jumped out to a big lead. So he's got some ability there. And I think the biggest thing Illinois has been looking for is with their receivers. They have a very talented group of receivers. Malik Turner is back for his senior year. Mike Dudek is back after 2 years of injuries. Ricky Smalling is a highly talented recruit out of Chicago. They've got some other kids, Lewis Dorsey, who's a very athletic tight end. They want to get the ball to those guys to make the offense go, and they haven't been able to do that. Now, part of that, not all of that, is the fault of Chase Crouch, who was the starter. Part of it's the offensive line. I mean, Illinois gave up 5 sacks to Nebraska, and the 10 times the Huskers tackled behind the line of scrimmage, tackles for loss. So, you know, it wasn't all Crouch's fault, but I think the coaches understood, as Gary McGee said the other day. He goes, hey, I was there Friday night. I saw the same thing everybody else did, and we need to do something different at quarterback, and so then the change was made.
You mentioned good wide receivers, and I think one of the better stories in the Big Ten this year is the return of Dudek, and what a special talent he was before the injuries all took place. And I would imagine very inspirational for the entire Illini football team to have him back out there.
It is. It's a great story. He's been a story of perseverance. Anytime you have a story like that with a kid who was in-state, not necessarily highly recruited, burst on the scene, a freshman All-American that first year, over 1,000 yards receiving, and then he goes down with a knee injury, and then he has the same knee again. And that's tough. And to try to come back from that and still be able to contribute is pretty remarkable. Now, he's looked great in camp. We just haven't been able to get him the ball enough on a consistent basis to make use of his ability. But he's great in the open field. He had a big 53-yard punt return that set up a win late against Ball State. He's kind of a home run waiting to happen when it comes to the punt return or getting the ball in his hands. They just haven't done enough of it so far this year.
As you know, Brian, Illinois has started more freshmen, true freshmen, than any team in the nation, has played more freshmen than anybody but LSU. First of all, has that been by design from the get-go? And how are these true freshmen performing?
Well, they're performing pretty well. Some of them in particular have done really well. Bobby Roundtree, a big defensive end, has done really well out of the gate. Bennett Williams is a guy that took over one of the safety spots in camp and got the starting role right out of the gate. Tony Adams is another young player. Nate Hobbs has made some starts. I don't know if it was by design, but it's the kind of thing where Coach Smith believes, hey, I don't care if you're a freshman or not, if you're the best guy that we have at that position. And he had a really talented freshman class coming in this year for his first recruiting class. He's like, hey, I'm going to play you. And so, you know, they've taken their lumps at times. You can tell at times they miss signals or they're not quite sure where they need to be. I know Garrick McGee the offensive coordinator, we had one game here recently. We started five freshmen on offense and five on defense, true freshmen, at the start of a game. Because we were running a play, he said, at the point of attack, we had two freshman offensive linemen, a freshman running back, and a freshman tight end. And he goes, and I, when I watched it on film, he goes, none of them were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. So, I mean, it's those kind of things that have plagued us this year at times, is just the inexperience. But they are talented. There's no doubt about that. And in a couple of years, I think what people are excited about is where a Bobby Roundtree is going to be, where an Isaiah Gay is going to be, you know, where Mike Epstein at running back is going to be. But right now, you know, they're pretty green, and they're going to take some lumps.
Yeah, and with that in mind, good recruiting class, the first time out for Lovie Smith. How is that transformation going to having Lovie in Champaign-Urbana? And it sounds like people are buying into it. It's just going to take time.
Yeah, I think people understand, and you guys know this. I mean, when Iowa's been remarkably consistent over the years, I mean, and I think that's one thing that I admire about what Iowa's done with Kirk Ferentz, how steady they are. Year after year, Illinois has been more up and down, you know, Sugar Bowl one year, and then a series of, you know, two or three win seasons, and then to the Rose Bowl, and then back down again. It's just been so up and down. I mean, you look at it, the stat that tells me, you know, Iowa, since 79, Iowa's had two coaches, and Illinois had nine. I mean, that tells you a lot right there. But I think, Josh Whitman came in, he gave Lovie Smith a six-year contract, a lot of pay at the end of it especially. And it said, hey, let's rebuild this thing the right way, and let's stick with the staff we have. Let them build this thing. And I think fans understand that. But still, along the way, you know, when you lose a game like you lost the other night, that's kind of discouraging because you felt like, you know, Nebraska wasn't playing that great, and they were a little vulnerable, and it just didn't go well. So you're going to have your ups and downs like that. But I think people understand this. It's kind of a long-term process, and may take a while. It's like turning around an aircraft carrier. It just takes a while to make it happen. But he's got to build a couple of classes on top of the class he just did, get healthy, get some depth. And, you know, Illini fans in football are not asking for a lot. I mean, they're asking, hey, we're never going to be Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State, but let's be consistent like Iowa. Let's be a little more consistent like Minnesota's been or Wisconsin. And contend to win 7, 8, 9 games a year, be in a good bowl game, contend for the title in the West, and at the Big Ten championship game. They're a little more picky about basketball. Basketball they have less patience for here at Illinois. But with football, hey, if you can just be steady and consistent, they take that.
Illinois has been very good at forcing fumbles, Brian, and that's been Iowa's kind of bugaboo. You saw it against Michigan State, Nathan Stanley coughing up a ball on the Spartan 5, and there's been a couple other untimely fumbles, and I know that nags at Kirk Ferentz, but that's something for the defense to hang their hat on for Illinois, isn't it?
It is. In fact, in their meeting room, they have a football that sticks out from the wall on a spring, and every day, everybody that goes by, you know, has to try to knock that football off, you know, off its perch there. And so that's the takeaways are a big thing that Lovie Smith in his pro career for years with the Bears and elsewhere, Tampa Bay and St. Louis, is emphasized. You got to get the takeaways. And so that is something they've been very proud of working on and becoming a template for success. And obviously turnovers are a huge stat in any game, no matter what it is. But I think, you know, Lovie Smith's formula is really simple. You know, you run the football effectively. You pass when you need to for good balance. You play good, solid defense. You get takeaways. And you're solid on special teams, and that's how his teams won in Chicago. And you can kind of see the blueprint. Now he's just got to get the right people in the right spot on a consistent basis to do that.
Yeah. How do you see this game playing out coming up on Saturday?
Well, it'll be interesting. I know Iowa's had their offensive issues as well. And now, granted, they played, you know, Penn State's really, really good, and Michigan State's always very solid on defense, so it's hard to look good against those teams. I know they had a shootout, kind of a high-scoring shootout with Iowa State, but, I don't expect any different Iowa team than we've seen over the years, you know, very solid defensively. They're not necessarily going to blow you out of the building, but, you know, usually, and I know they've had some turnovers this time that were costly, but over the years that I've been doing the game 16 years here at Illinois, I mean, they don't make a lot of mistakes. They're not necessarily flashy or, you know, they don't blitz a lot on defense. They just do things, and what they do, they really do well. So I don't know if, you know, Illinois's got to figure out their offense. Their offense has to be more consistent, getting first downs, running the ball more effectively. Their offensive line, and I know Iowa's had the same issues with some injuries and juggling guys around. Illinois, I think, is going to start its fifth different offensive line this Saturday with injuries and inexperience and some guys moving in and out. So that's been, to me, the biggest problem. If they can get that figured out, run the ball well, and get a couple of takeaways, they give themselves a chance. But obviously, to win at Kinnick Stadium, they haven't done it. They haven't played there a lot over the last 20 years, but they haven't won there since 1999. So, you know, they have to do a lot of things right to beat a good Iowa team that took Penn State, who's what ranked in the top five, to the wire.
Hey, before we let you go, Brad Underwood taking over the Illini basketball program, as you mentioned, and obviously very good pedigree that Underwood has had. We've seen him at Stephen F., and then, of course, at Oklahoma State for the short time there. And how's he doing over at Champaign-Urbana?
Doing great. I was at an event with him last night for Coaches versus Cancer. He and his wife were there with some sponsors and friends as we work on that aspect. He's been heavily involved in that over the years, but he's fit into the community really well, very down-to-earth guy. You know, you mentioned the success he had at Stephen F. Austin. When you saw his teams play, it just kind of popped off the screen. I mean, their aggressive relentlessness on offense. Their goal is to get it in a position to score within 7 seconds of the shot clock. Play relentless defense, always be on the attack. And I know last year at Oklahoma State, they struggled a little bit early to figure out his system, but then they got going and made the tournament. So I think Illinois will have an identity. It'll be hard-nosed defense. It'll be pressing, attacking offense. They've got some key guys back, a Michael Finkiel, a Ron Black, and they've got Mark Smith, who was the player of the year, Mr. Basketball, in the state of Illinois last year out of the St. Louis area, who's making an impact already. So, are they going to be Big Ten champions? No, but can they compete for an NCAA tournament bid and kind of move back up the ladder in the Big Ten rankings? I don't see why not. That should be a goal for this year anyway.
All right. Well, Brian, safe travels over to Iowa City. Always good talking Illinois sports with you, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini of Illinois, joining us here on KGYM. 3:35, we're going to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. We'll do that here in just a little bit. We have tickets to Breaking Benjamin and Avenged Sevenfold, and that'll be coming up at the U.S. Cellular Center on February the 9th. That's a Friday night. Tickets to see A7X along with Breaking Benjamin and Bullet for My Valentine go on sale this Friday, October 6th. 10 a.m. at the U.S. Cellular Center box office. You can also pick them up online at Ticketmaster.com, or you can just win them right here on KGYM. We're going to take caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. You are going to go to that concert coming up in February. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Chris Liss on the other side after this.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was Baby Back, Baby Back, Baby Back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger, too.
48% actually. But that's, like, impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Valvoline Premium Conventional Oil and an STP filter for $24.99 or an extended life filter for $2 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries.
I'm on your website, and it says I can buy online and then pick up in store?
Yes.
And how long does that usually take?
30 minutes or less.
I need a battery for my 2013 Ford Escape.
Our AutoCraft Gold, it's got a 3-year warranty.
Man, you really know your stuff. I'm 33. Am I too young for a cardigan?
Too young for a cardigan.
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Order online at AdvanceAutoParts.com and pick up your order in store in just 30 minutes. Also at participating CarQuest stores.
guys. Get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 505 regular fit and 501 original fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at JCP.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at JCP.com for details.
This is the Jim Scott Unash. Get ready for Linmar football action Friday afternoon at 3 during the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
We got a winner in our ticket giveaway. We'll have more coming up throughout the week here, Thursday and Friday here on KGYM as we give away tickets to Avenged Sevenfold with Breaking Benjamin. And that'll be coming up all week right here on the Gym Class. You just heard we're going to be on the tailgate tour run again this Friday. Mark and I will be over at Linmar as we get ready for the big rivalry between the Lions and the Prairie Hawks. They've been going at it since two schools were opened just about the same time. And looking forward to being out there. And a big thanks to all our great sponsors that help us out with that. The Iowa National Guard, Happy Joe's Pizza, the U.S. Air Force, Dr. Pepper, Prince Albert's Tuxedos, Popeye's Chicken, Unity Point Health, St. Luke's Hospital Community CPR Team, the Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department, Marcus Theaters, LaJames International College. Couldn't do it without all the great sponsors. And we're looking forward to being out there at Linmar coming up, hopefully without rain on Friday.
Back to the ECIC days, the East Central Iowa Conference. You remember who was in that league? Linmar Prairie.
Benton Community.
Dyersville
LaSalle.
Beckman.
LaSalle. Yeah, Beckman was in there as well. Who am I missing? You know, don't you? Or did
we
get them
six
all?
In the league?
There weren't many. There weren't many.
Linmar Prairie, LaSalle, Beckman, Benton, and help us out there. 319-366-1600.
It's been a while since the old ECIC teed it up. Kyle is our winner. Kyle from Davenport. Thank you very much for listening and for calling in to get the tickets. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com is going to be joining us coming up here in just a moment or two. And we will, we promise, have a Bowling Night in America preview for you coming up here in just
Regina,
a moment.
Thank you very
Regina!
Much.
Regina! How can we forget? Regina was the other team.
Thank you, 7148.
In there. Man, I feel bad. That's just one of those things your brain just goes and glosses over. And how in the world did I miss that? Get your questions ready to go for Chris on the text line, 319-366-1600. Chris Liss will join us here, and his spot is brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy football right here on KGYM. And as well, not only us, but Tristan Cockcroft will be on with Todd and Alex coming up a little bit later on.
Yep, texts already rolling in, phone calls. Chris Liss will be with us shortly.
Terry says Regina as well. Everyone calling in, letting us know it was Regina. And we do appreciate that. That's why we got the best fans and best listeners out there. And Chris will join us coming up in a couple of moments here. And also, the National League Wild Card game coming your way tonight. Colorado and Arizona.
Yep, go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. Which team will advance to face the Dodgers? Will it be Arizona or Colorado?
Thanks to Emil Sideway for that. Do appreciate it. First Avenue Southeast, right behind the Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
Right now, running neck and neck.
I think the game's going to be neck and neck. I don't believe it's going to be the offensive show that we had last night, at least early on, that offensive show. By the way, Purdue has announced that they are going to pay tribute to the late Joe Tiller at the home game coming up on Saturday, as Purdue is going to be wearing, they're going to have a moment of silence, and they will also have a tribute sticker, and they are going to wear throwback helmets, if you will. The helmets, I think, will be the same, but they'll have the old Purdue, the non-leaning Purdue P on the helmet.
Well done.
And a video tribute is going to be played members of the 97 team. The first one at Purdue is going. They are going to be welcomed back. So that should be very fun. Somber, obviously, but I think it'll be neat to get a lot of people back together and talk about Joe Tiller. What a great guy he was, and very good for the Big Ten Conference out there.
Entertaining, innovative, all the above.
And a good fly fisherman.
I'll take your word.
That's just what I heard. We're efforting Chris right now at 319-366-1600. We'll get Chris coming up here, and we will get your questions for him, because they are stacking up, I bet.
They are indeed.
Don't you love fantasy football?
No, because I had Chris Thompson going Monday night for the Redskins, and I needed 6 points to take down Mark of our sales staff. That guy's been pretty good.
He's 4-0, isn't he?
He got 3 points. Are you kidding me?
Well, he did very well the prior week.
He did indeed.
He won a game for me. I know that. That's kind of, that's kind of the way it goes. 1 week, the guy does great. Next week, doesn't do so great. So
it's what makes setting a lineup so interesting. I'm entertaining a trade with Kyle right now.
Are you?
I don't think I'm going to take it, because I acquired some running backs in the waiver wire today that I think will get me by this week.
I don't think I've done that yet. We're going to have Bowling Night in America preview. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. But Chris Liss of rotowire.com set to join us right now. If you'd like to join Chris, 319-366-1600. And his appearance is sponsored by I'm On Communications. And, Chris, good afternoon. Did you have the what side of things did you have at the for the Redskin Chief game? Were you the over or the under? If you
I had the Redskins +7. And I'll tell you, it's even worse than, for most people, because I watch the games the next morning, the late night games, because it'll be too late for me. So I try to not see the score when I'm rewatching, and I saw one team score 29. I didn't know which one. And I watched the game, and it's 2017. I'm thinking, how did they get to 29? Oh, it must be the Redskins tie with a field goal. They each get a field goal, and it goes to overtime. And then I start to realize, well, the Redskins aren't going to get a field goal with 4 seconds left. They're down 23-20. Uh-oh. There's only one way a team can get to 29. And I watched in horror as it unfolded. So I had the Redskins +7.
Oh, man, that's a bad beat. But you weren't the only one. That was a pretty big boat that you were in. So that's all right.
Terrible.
Mark,
let's roll through some of these texts, Chris. Plenty of them coming in for you. 0656. Is in a half-point PPR league. Pick one running back, DeMarco Murray or Andre Ellington?
I'll go Murray.
Flex, please pick one. Jerron Brown, Marquise Lee, Will Fuller, or Crabtree?
I guess I'm going to go Jerron Brown for now against the Eagles, but there's a lot of injury stuff contained in that question because Marquise Lee is banged up. Michael Crabtree looks like he's going to play, but Derek Carr is not playing. And then even the last guy, there's some injury stuff. So I would say for now I'd go Jerron Brown.
33-31 in a PPR league, Hogan or Blunt at the flex?
I'm going Hogan in full PPR.
Then we have, I can't read the numbers, 79-66, Hogan or Funchess? Whoops. Where to go, Mark? As bye week replacement for Thomas in a non-PPR league.
You don't have to show off and say who was a good guy that you're replacing. You just ask the question. I'll go Hogan.
And then what do you think of Jimmy Graham? Is he going to get going soon?
I've got him everywhere, and I'm very disappointed in him. But, yes, I'm going to say I think he is going to get going soon.
57-50, Graham or Charles Clay for tight end in the standard league?
I think you go Charles Clay one more week. He's getting way more targets and he's being more productive.
In terms of a flex, those two are Aaron Jones. One of those two are Aaron Jones.
I would go Aaron Jones if Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams are scratched, but you got to wait for that news.
All right, let's go to the phones and bring in Rick here. Rick, good afternoon. You're on with Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a waiver wire question. We have an auction style waiver wire, $1,000 a year cap on it. I was just wondering, you had any suggestions on how much to bid on Latavius Murray or how much he'd be worth.
I can't hear the call, so you're gonna have to sum it up for me, Scott.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Rick. We'll get it to you here. He's got a they have an auction type pickup league, and it's the $1,000 cap.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wondering how much he should spend for Latavius Murray, who's now number one.
Yeah, I'd say like 100, maybe 90 bucks. You know, McKinnon is there too. McKinnon, they're both banged up, and the problem with Murray is that his ankle's still not right from off-season surgery. So it's kind of hard to decipher which Minnesota back is going to get the work, but I would say no more than 90 or 100, modest bid.
2262, Rudolph or Jason Witten in a PPR league?
I would probably go Rudolph.
Standard league, pick two starters for a running back. Cohen, Blunt, Marshawn Lynch, Latavius Murray.
I'm going to go Lynch and Blunt in a standard league.
1238, Stafford or Russell Wilson?
Wilson.
I can't even read that. What does that mean?
Let's go to the next one.
All right. 67-11, standard scoring, need to start one. Brandon Marshall, Latavius Murray, or Nelson Agholor?
Oof, that's ugly. I'm going to say Marshall.
How about 0720 standard league pick two, Crowell, Smallwood, or Doug Martin?
Oof, those are really bad. The problem is that probably Crowell, and then between Smallwood and Martin. Martin's not going to play that much probably on Thursday, and then Smallwood's hurt. He's on the injury report. I guess Smallwood, hopefully he gets healthy, but he's no sure thing.
1455 is in a standard league, Chris. Julio Jones has not been performing. I need running back help. Offered Todd Gurley for Julio Jones. Do I take it?
Yes, take it. Take Gurley. Yep.
Yeah, he's been a monster, and Jones is now hurt. I don't think bad, but yeah.
I mean, I you know, normally, you know, sell low and buy high, but I think Gurley's a top five player right now.
67-11, bank on Ty playing Sunday and not start Rodgers tomorrow night, or too risky?
No, start Rodgers. I mean, don't worry about – bank on who? Oh, Jacquizz Rodgers. I would rather go Jacquizz than bank on Ty Montgomery.
67-11 again in PPR. As Ty Montgomery, Marshawn Lynch, and Jacquizz Rodgers for running back need to start too?
I would sit Ty Montgomery. Just I don't like the rib situation. I think you'd miss a game.
98-96. Do I get Big Ben or Goff as a bye week replacement?
Big Ben at home is way better. Use Big Ben.
82-58. Marshawn Lynch, Tariq Cohen, or Jonathan Stewart? Doesn't say PPR.
Yeah, non PPR. I probably go Lynch there. In PPR, I go Cohen.
All right, 0608, Deshaun Jackson or Latavius for a flex spot?
Deshaun Jackson.
And 1954, this is a standard league. He needs two. Fitzgerald, Hogan, Thielen, or Cooper?
I would go, wow, that's a really tough one. I'm going to go Thielen and Hogan.
94-66, what are some good buy-low options, running back and wide receiver for a standard league?
Jay Ajayi is a good buy low at running back, and at receiver, Amari Cooper is a good buy low because they've both been terrible, but they're still who they are.
But the Dolphins can't score.
That's why he's cheap. That's the whole reason. I mean, when they, you know, when you say, oh, who are you going to buy low? And people are like, oh, buy Kareem Hunt low. He didn't score a touchdown. Well, good luck trying to pry Kareem out of his owner's hands. But Ajayi, you know, that's the Jai owner's going to be, you know, ready to talk. So that's how you got
to
do it.
There's more text coming in that I'm going to get to, Chris. That's a testimony to your information, I think. 1753 is in a PPR, needs a flex. Garcon or Chris Hogan?
Hogan. Garcon's going to get checked by Vontae Davis, probably.
82-58 in a standard league. Pick three. Deshaun Jackson, Davante Adams, who I can tell you may not play, Devin Funchess, or Will Fuller?
I mean, if Adams plays, I like him, and he might actually play. And then DeSean Jackson I like, and then Funchess and Fuller's kind of a coin flip. I will say Fuller will beat the Chiefs deep for one play.
95-78 Stafford or Newton?
Oof, they're both bad against each other. I go Stafford. I go Newton for the running stats.
Yeah, I sat Newton last week and played David Carr. Thank you very much.
Ouch.
How'd that work out?
94-66. I'm sorry, I lost my place here, Scott.
You'll find it. 94-66.
Yes, traumatized by remembering that.
Derek Carr traumatization there.
Latavius Murray, Cohen, or Abdullah, running back 2 in a standard league?
Probably Abdullah in a standard league.
Joe, at 35-60, I picked up Deshaun Watson. Play him in front of Carson Palmer?
Not this week, although it's 50-50. I mean, if you really want to, go ahead. But I think I'd go Palmer.
42-22 is in a PPR. Prescott or Newton?
Prescott for sure.
Myles Garrett or Geno Atkins?
IDP?
Yes.
You got to go Geno Atkins, and Myles Garrett will see how healthy he is in his first day. But go Geno.
51-92. Do I pick up Smallwood or Lacy in a PPR for the rest of the year?
Smallwood's banged up and kind of 50-50. PPR, I guess you go Smallwood because Lacy won't catch passes.
2096, Jay Ajayi or Giovanni Bernard in a standard league?
Ajayi, not even close.
No.
0720, standard league, pick 2, please. DeMarco Murray, Jaquizz Rodgers, or Abdullah?
Definitely Murray and then probably Rodgers, but it's kind of 50-50 between him and Abdullah.
Final one here. Is it time to drop Justin Tucker, 82-58?
I have him.
No, you can't drop Justin Tucker. I know the offense is terrible, but this week, again, at Oakland, I think he'll kick at least 3 field goals.
Kick one of those 60-yarders, man.
Yeah, a great job getting through all those, Chris. Appreciate it.
Chris,
Justin Tucker's killing me, too.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the services you provide at rotowire.com.
Well, of course, we have all the football stuff, and we answer all these questions implicitly in our weekly rankings. We rank every player by position. You can get all your who to start and who to sit questions answered there, rotowire.com/trial. And if you need any fantasy basketball advice, we've got all our draft stuff up for fantasy basketball. So, again, rotowire.com/trial.
All right. Hey, Chris, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Chris List joins us each Wednesday. That courtesy of I'm On. Each Wednesday as well, Mark, we bowl. Well, I'm not. You're bowling tonight, so we have a Bowling Night in America preview. It's brought to you by Mays City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Indeed. You get a much-needed night off after 4 weeks of going at it. And I'm on, as you mentioned. Rusty Nails, 11-5, tied for second in the mature Evergreen League. We'll be on lanes 23 and 24 tonight. Against one of two teams sponsored by the Viking Lounge.
This is a new Viking.
This is a new Viking who's some of its members bowled with the old Viking before. Viking Lounge. They're having a good year. Hey, shout out to Wayne Selkin, our good friend. Bowled a 300 out at Mays last night. In the May City Major League. Like one of three or four that had 300 last night.
Something like that. And they were all going at it last night. Wayne, good guy, even though, you know, he's a Bronco fan. I kid. Warren and Wayne.
You're not even going to be there tonight to take the rebuttal, okay?
For all of you.
Yes, Wayne, I'll get you Scott's number.
Yeah, okay? He's got it. We got to get Buzz back there, too. Off
Buzz
the
undergoing surgery, right?
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago?
That's right. So
good. Best of luck to Buzz.
Yeah. We'll let you know how it goes tomorrow. Mays City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest.
Yep. Give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Arizona, Colorado, I got the Diamondbacks.
I do, too.
And we'll see how it plays out. Will it be the D-backs or the Rockies moving on to take on the Dodgers in an NL West rematch coming up in the first round of the NLDS. All right, stay tuned. Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn is next. KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop.